Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 in the Good Beer Seal. Today is Tuesday, June 7th, 2016. We've got a special show in the works. Jensen Cummings from Colorado and Andrew from Brooklyn Brewery, they're talking about brewed food, a really new concept that they're doing around the country, and they're here in New York. And got Ann Becerra with me.
Hello.
How's it going, buddy?
Not bad, man. I'm excited for the show.
On their way. They actually had a tasting today at Brooklyn Brewery, and they're actually on their way right now. And in the meantime, we've got some good buddies that are working on a beer documentary. You guys introduce yourselves and tell us what's a little bit about your documentary.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Eric Schleyer.
And Andrew Corey.
We're making Beer Boom. It's a documentary about craft beer here in New York City.
Great. And what inspired you to do that, and who are some of the people that you've interviewed?
We've interviewed Steve Hindy from Brooklyn Brewery, Garrett Oliver, Rich Castagna from Bridge and Tunnel Brewery, and the guys from Gun Hill.
Bronx Brewery.
The Bronx Brewery as well.
And also a guy from Anthem Soda. And we're both independent filmmakers, documentary filmmakers, and craft beer lovers. So it was kind of an easy mix of the two. And we've been shooting it for about the last year and a half. And it's been a fun journey so far. So,
what is it like making a documentary?
You drink a lot of beer. it's interesting because you're talking to people who like love what they do so much that a lot of these guys dropped their full time jobs to make beer. It's unbelievable. Like it's real. It's the American dream, actually.
And we've both been filmmakers for a while and pursued a couple other documentaries, short form. And this one in particular, it's been great to see how many people are willing to participate. You know, like other times you might have to chase around people for an interview, or they want to talk about their profession or their craft. And that's one of the things that's been really nice about this documentary so far. Is anyone you're like, hey, you wanna sit down and talk about your love for beer? And everyone's like, yeah, sure, let's do it.
What's the angle? Are you guys doing like a timeline, the history, the crime? It's
really about what's going on right now within the past 2 to 5 years, both in New York and nationwide, which is kind of like the working title right now is Beer Boom. And it's really about the growth of craft beer. We've talked about a couple of different angles about, you know, what this, you know, quote unquote spin is or how to approach it. A couple reoccurring threads is, you know, craft beer versus big beer, the concept of contract brewing, and also the structure of the small breweries that are kind of popping up. And a lot of times what we're seeing is there's a finance guy and there's a beer brewer, and they both kind of love beer, but it's kind of a two-headed monster. Like both kind of personas is necessary to make it grow. And so those are kind of some of the things that we've seen thus far. Like I said, we've been doing it for the past year and a half or so, and we want to continue to explore it. We're trying to come at it from a very unbiased angle about, you know, just kind of like seeing what comes our way and then making the documentary about that. So
was there anybody that you didn't expect to be really good on camera that you got to discover? Does that happen when you make a film?
I think the guys from the Bronx Brewery, they were, at first when we were interviewing them, Chris and Damien, the first couple questions, because they were our first interview. They were the first guys we interviewed. So we were kind of ironing out the kinks ourselves of what we wanted to ask. And they basically took the questions that we asked and basically pretty much almost gave the movie life. And then once we got the first interview, we realized, okay, we have something that we could do here. And just talking to them and talk about like their journey from where they brewed before. Now they're building at that time they were building the place in the Bronx, and just seeing the passion that they have for the area and just showing like how craft beer really brings a lot of jobs back to New York City. Like that's another big angle that we're talking about too, is that the city, well, back in the 1800s, the city, I mean, New York City used to be one of the biggest places for beer, and it just disappeared after Prohibition. Well, almost disappeared after Prohibition. But then once it disappeared, like, that's where we were coming in, like, following Steve Hindy, building the place out, and it's just really, it's an interesting time for craft beer, I tell you
that. Where are you guys from? Are you from New York City?
I'm born and raised in Queens. Yeah, I'm a Queens kid.
I'm from Florida. If there's anything that stood out to you, you know, about New York City's beer scene, in your opinion, that is very specific to here as opposed to any other beer town.
I grew up in, the bodegas when I'm growing up as a kid. My other buddies were grabbing the Budweiser, the Heinekens, the Coronas. I'm sitting there digging in the back looking for Brooklyn because I'm like, hey, that's down the block. We're from Brooklyn, you know. So that's why I got it, because it was, you know, close to the house. You know, it's Brooklyn beer. I'm from New York. That's what, you know, I drink.
Yeah. You're good. Keep talking in your Brooklyn accent.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's funny. I used to be a beer vendor at Shea Stadium, too. So that was an interesting time, too.
We got some pizza, too. Look at that. Roberta's Pizza fan.
Oh, excellent.
So you're a vendor of beer.
Yeah, I was a beer vendor.
So how does that work? You walk in. What do? You have to pay for your beer. How do you keep track of that stuff?
So I was a beer vendor at Shea Stadium. I pretty much sold everything there, beer, Cracker Jacks, hot dogs, pretzels, everything.
Let me hear your best beer here, or is that just
hey, cold beer? We have a guy there who walks around saying, hey, cold. He's like, hey, beer man here. So he's really good. There's a lot of good guys out there. There's a lot of good calls.
But how does it work? You walk out there, you're taking people's money. Mm-hmm. You have to come back with a certain amount of money for a number of beers you bring out?
You get checks. So like when you go out there, you get a check, and you go out there with like maybe one or two cases of beer. You're carrying 48 beers on your head, walking around the ballpark, you know, yelling and pouring beer.
What happens if you drop a beer, you lose it?
Oh, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
But they bounce, right? You have plastic bottles at Shea. It's no big deal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was there when we were pouring them. We used to walk up and down. All we had was Bud and Bud Light. I used to walk up and down saying, hey, what do you want, light or heavy? And that's about it.
Yeah, come a long
way.
Teach Ann how to
be a beer vendor. What does she have to say?
Hey, beer, cold beer here. That's what you would say.
Can you do that?
I do that every day. That's my job.
Come on. Yeah, there you go.
Beer here. Get your beer. Yeah,
there you go.
Oh, that's the best part. And it's funny, too, now, you know, speaking of baseball stadiums, I mean, really, people are stepping up their game. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia, I mean, there's so many great stadiums. We're a little behind. I'm a Yankees fan, but, you know, the fact that it's even available at all, it's $19, but it's still there. You know?
City Field and Aramark, that's one of the things that they did. Their craft beer, their selection's really good.
Yeah, it's great. I'm going there after the show, actually. Yeah. So hopefully they'll have their game stepped up.
And that's it. That's all you did in your life. You vended beer at Shea Stadium, and you make movies now.
So we've been following Rich from Bridge and Tunnel for about a year, like actually build his place out. And he's been building everything by hand. I would literally text in and call him, like, say, hey, Rich, is there anything cool I could come and shoot? And he's like, well, I'm bringing the tanks in today. Do you want to come by? And I'm like, yes. Okay, I'll be right there. So I would go in. I would, you know, we would shoot with him. He'd bring in the tanks. We'd throw a GoPro on his head while he's building the place out. And it was amazing because it was just him. It was just him building it. And it's not like these other, for Bridge and Tunnel, it's not like these other breweries that have like construction crews. It was actually him like bleeding and building the place out. And I was texting him one day asking him, hey, is there anything I should come by and shoot? And he's like, well, I hurt my back pretty bad. I'm going to be laid out for a couple of days. And he's like, okay, all right. I'm off on Wednesday from my 9-to-5 job. And he's like, okay, well, I was like, do you need any help or anything? He's like, I'm brewing a beer on Wednesday. Do you want to help out with that? And I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I'll come by. So I came by. It was snowing. And we brewed a beer together. And he was asking me my beer selling experience. And I was like, well, I used to be a beer vendor at Shea Stadium. And he was like, oh, okay, cool. And he's like, he was pointing at the bar. He was like, well, how hard is that compared to the bar? I'm like, well, bar is easy. People come to you. You don't have to walk up and down the whole damn stadium, you know, selling beer. So he's like, oh, well, I really want to take my kids out ice skating on Sunday. And my normal bartender's out. Can you do me a huge favor and work for me on Sunday? And I'm like, Yes, I can do that. So I basically help him out whenever he needs a day off. Apparently, I've become the Sunday bartender. So we made a documentary and I got a Sunday gig.
Yeah, I got a bartender. Now you make some money. So tell me again the name of the film.
Beer Boom Movie.
And when's it going to be out?
We're still shooting it.
Still shooting it, yeah. So right now we're in the process of, we're kind of in, right, I'd say, smack in the middle. So we've been filming for about a year and a half. He mentioned we've been following around Bridge and Tunnel and Rich kind of as he's been growing the brewery. And the intent is to continue on editing and probably interview and talk with probably another six or eight breweries.
What do you have lined up?
So as of right now,
I know the guys from Rockaway are interested. Big Alice, they're down. I know they want to do it. I haven't talked to the guys from Long Island City yet. There's a number. I know the guys from Coney Island. Yeah, Coney Island Brewery. There's a couple others that we could talk to. Yeah, we've been talking. There's so many breweries coming out now.
And the short term plan is to kind of get everything going, or tighten up the edit where it's at right now, and launch a Kickstarter and try to raise some funding to kind of take the movie to the next level.
So. Do you guys have a website right now?
Beerboommovie.com.
Beer Boom Movie, I like that. Yeah. So we're not done with you guys, but Ann, so got a lot of fun stuff going on, don't we?
We have a lot of fun stuff going on, and I'm actually pretty soon, by the end of the show, hopefully we'll have a live link that we can talk about, because we have a really cool event. Olivier and Tommy Arthur from, you know, obviously two of the best breweries from...
So you're going to host an event, and we're going to do a live
recording. We're doing a live recording of Beer Sessions Radio at Treadwell Park on 62nd and 1st with Olivier Dedeker.
June 20th,
and Tommy Arthur. And then we're going to actually, the people that are there, our audience, which we're going to have, again, a link to go live soon, we'll go through the tasting with us of their new collaboration beer, a couple other rarities, and then have a sort of a private Q&A of just about 30 people.
Is it a new place, Treadwell Park?
It's less than a year old. Yeah. And I started doing the beer program for there. So yeah, I figured it's a great idea. Our listeners can come hang out with us. You can taste these great beers. You can talk to two legends, you know, brewing legends. And
so it's Tommy Arthur. Tell me about it. It's
what, from the Lost
Pizza
Abbey.
Port? Was that Pizza Port?
Pizza Port, Lost Abbey. You know, really, that's one
California,
of the breweries
right?
that in San Marcos. Yeah. That's one of the breweries I really wish we could get in New York. They're not distributing here yet, but we get a couple other things via collaborations. And so this beer called Deux Amis, it's an American Belgian kind of blend saison that the two of them are doing together. And it's Olivier's first time in the States ever. He rarely does press. He's one of the most humble people I've ever met. Complete genius when it comes to brewing, and the fact that we get to sit and have, you know,
so Tommy Arthur, he made the beer with them in Belgium,
with Olivia
in Belgium.
That's my understanding of it. Yeah, not a lot of press yet. I think they're coming to the U.S. to kind of talk about that and come into New York to give a little bit more background. But from everything I've read, it's supposed to be really good. So really excited for that show.
That's cool. Yeah. And you know, you also do the list. I'm going to talk about you a little bit. You also do the list at Taproom 307.
Yeah, Taproom 307.
I was there on Saturday. I happened to get off the bus.
I'm so excited. Yeah, tomorrow actually, just not to plug, but tomorrow we're doing our Sierra Nevada Beer Camp event, which we have all six of the collaborations. So all 30 collaborators that brewed these six regional beers, we're going to have them all side by side. And, you know, I was lucky enough to have them when they were in town at the Blind Tiger for a press event, and they are so delicious. So if anyone hasn't, you know, tried these beers yet, it's pretty much the beer community at its finest, you know, all working together.
Do you know which brewers were involved in this
there's
series?
30. I can look them up.
30 brewers, wow.
30 brewers. So it's five plus Sierra Nevada for all six beers. And it's done by region, the South, Midwest, Pacific Northwest, et cetera. And they all have a completely different style, all incredibly well made. And, you know, it's just the part that we love about the beer industry, right? What you guys were saying. Now you're making a documentary. Now you're working together and probably going to end up babysitting. You know, it's that community that we like. And so I think of anyone, Sierra Nevada does a great job. So I'm really excited to try the rest of these beers.
Yeah. Hey, when you guys interviewed Steve Hindy, what was he like from Brooklyn Brewery?
He was awesome. I mean, that was you asked earlier what was one of the things that kind of like surprised you when we were sitting down and doing the interview. And I was pleasantly surprised about how open he was, and also willing to kind of sit down and chat with us. He's a busy guy. He's the founder of Brooklyn Brewery. He's, you know, I'm sure doing lots of it every day, and to be able to, he sat down with us for like 45 minutes, an hour.
It was a good half a day.
He walked us around the entire brewery, and he was very generous with his time, and also information about history of both beer in Brooklyn, and also the company and, you know, what he's seen and over the years. And so to me, that was kind of refreshing as a filmmaker, and also as a craft beer lover. It was just a cool experience to be able to just sit down with like you know, like OG of
there's a lot here. There's a lot that he said that kind of like resonated with the city in general. He's talking about how with New York City, how you don't have that local, like when he first started, you don't have that local pride of the beer of like what you had here when he was first starting. But I think it's kind of turning around. Like just bartending with at Bridge and Tunnel on Sundays, I see people coming in from Long Island, New Jersey, coming in from Connecticut, just coming in just to taste New York beer. And they're going around the different breweries. And I think that's one thing that that is changing, is like now we have a scene. It's actually known. Like I saw some list on Thrillist or something like that, that New York State was number 9 out of all the states now. And that's pretty good, going from zero breweries.
Well, are you doing any focus on the legislation? I mean, there's several factors that are, you know, helping to create that boom. Have you guys talked to anyone in the Brewers Association or like what, you know, to talk about our farm brewery licensing, things like that?
That's what we're looking at. We're one of our one of the next things we have to shoot and elaborate on is the Craft Beer Act, and I'm trying to get maybe Cuomo. I'm trying to get Cuomo.
He's a great supporter of our industry.
If we could get him, that'll be pretty good. But we're still, and that's another thing. Making a documentary, it was a little difficult to get people to do an interview without a trailer. Now we have a trailer. Now we can show people what it looks like. And we're going to have a Kickstarter project in July. Now we're getting our names out there, and it's a lot easier once you can show somebody.
It's a little more tangible. And
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, this looks good.
I mean, they want to talk about it, but it's like, you know, it's like what you said before. It's easy to get people to talk about it, but if it's somebody who's not that, like, in our inner circle, it was hard. Like, it was hard to get them, you know.
Wow, man. That's so cool. Yeah. You guys are awesome, and you've been doing it for a while. I know you tracked me down for a while, and I think, did I ever talk to you guys on the show or anything?
At the five, not the five boroughs.
So New York City Brewer's Choice.
It was the Brewer's Choice. Yeah, it was Brewer's Choice. Good, yeah, man. We hung out for a while. Yeah.
Wait, we're waiting for Brewed Food friends to come over.
Literally getting into the Uber driver's brutal.
And we'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
And this break song is by my dear friend Rectech. It's called Dues Paid. We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I got Mr. Jack Inslee mixing for me. Might be his last night here. I hear he's going on tour
Jack.
Odetta Hartman. And Jack, what's the name of your group, man?
It's just Odetta Hartman. So just her name.
So you guys made an album and it's really taken off?
Made an album. We're going on tour and then I'm moving to D.C.
Well, man. So. This is the last night Jack Inslee is in studio, and I'm honored that he is here with us on Beer Sessions.
We got more guests coming in.
All right, our star guests are here now. We got Andrew from Broken Brewery and Jensen Cummings. You guys come on and grab the seat. And we were talking about this new beer documentary and some of the scenes going on. But, you know, Jensen and Andrew, you guys jump in and say hello and tell us your full name.
How's it going, folks? Good to be here.
So, Andrew, just tell me your full name and everything.
Andrew Gerson, chef and head of culinary programming from Brooklyn Brewery.
And you traveled the country doing the mash, didn't you?
I do, yeah. We just got back from London and Stockholm a couple days ago.
Which I think is one of the coolest things. And Jensen Cummings, you know, big round of applause to this guy. Cause too many people. What, you're a chef in Colorado. Love that.
There we go.
Yes.
Oh, he doesn't even have the headphones on. I literally walked in. So you guys had a tasting at Brooklyn Brewery today.
And you literally walked in the door
came over,
from,
so they're here.
From there.
So somebody gives him a head. He just misses applause and everything. But Jensen, so you know, you're from Colorado. You know, you got inspired by what Adam Dulia at Savor, and you've kind of created this kind of traveling food show.
Yeah, it's a circus. It's a full on circus of beer and food. All that is beer and food, and we basically are just rolling
He's
around
got
the
a
country.
Hat too. It says Brewed Food,
fermenting people's minds. That's like our whole goal, right? Just inundate people with fermentation in every single bite, every single sip, and taking the idea of brewing and applying as the core philosophy of cuisine. That's really what brewed food is about. So collaborating with chefs like Andrew, breweries like New Belgium, who's kind of our go-to in Colorado, and then Brooklyn Brewery out here. We've been in Austin, Portland, just traveling around, spreading the gospel of changing the perception of what's possible in beer and food.
So I know you're going to be at Jimmy's number 43 tomorrow night for a dinner.
That is like, that is the top of the mountain. Like, we've been working so hard to get to Jimmy's number 43. We're finally there.
You got some great sponsors. I mean, last night I walked in, your prep guy was there. He was cooking bacon, and it smells so good. So where was that from?
Oh, yeah, Tender Belly Pork. Those guys do a kick-ass job. They work with heritage breed farmers all across the country, and they make sure that people get as much bacon as possible. It's important because it is my favorite vegetable, and it's important to get all your food groups.
And you even brought chinaware. I mean, there's like things start showing up. It's like there's cases of china.
Yeah, we style people out, man. You get to keep all that sick plateware. That's all yours, Jimmy.
You eat with your eyes first, right?
That's right.
Wow.
Can you guys talk a little bit? I was so sad I couldn't make it today because that menu that you were just coming from at Brooklyn Brewery looked amazing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I want Andrew to talk about it because he got to experience it from the other side. We play with it all day, every day at our food lab. So
it's really interesting. I got put in touch with Jensen when Garrett came back from a great event in Colorado and was like, you need to talk to this guy. And we started talking, and I think we had like 2-hour conversations just talking food and beer. And Jensen is taking that one step further. I think there's been a beautiful integration over the last 10, 15 years. We've seen beer really regain its place at the table. But now we're taking it one step further. And, you know, we're doing really cool stuff on the road all the time with that integration of food and beer. Jensen's actually fermenting with beer ingredients. So taking beer yeasts and different strains, house strains from different breweries, working with Brett, working with all these different wild strains of yeast, and creating really unbelievable ferments with those. So we got to taste a variety of those.
We're putting
today.
Andrew on the payroll. He's good. Yeah. That was good.
He's great. Give us some recipes. So what did you taste today at Brooklyn Brewery?
So we tasted a yuzu koshu, which is traditionally yuzu mashed with chilies in a mortar and pestle, kind of turned into this beautiful pulp that becomes like a really deep, rich, vibrant, spicy, but also citrus forward.
You brought some
sauce.
Of that for Jack Inslee to taste because this is last night of the studio.
Unbelievable.
Thanks,
I mean,
man.
Similar to the Momofuku
Jack,
lab.
You get to try everything today on the whole menu.
Yeah.
Jensen did a really fun barley miso. That was really cool. Really awesome depth, but a sweetness to it, almost like cajeta, almost like a creme caramel. Really rich, deep chocolate nuances.
Malted barley,
caramel.
Or what kind of barley?
Yeah, so we play around with all kinds of grains. This one in particular, we really like. It's probably the best thing that's come out of our kitchen so far, and it is a blend of soybeans, obviously, and then we inoculate Aspergillus oryzea, which is a koji mold, with whey carafa, Munich malts, and crystal malts to create this
so
kind of
you're cooking
blend.
With stuff that you'd usually brew with.
Right. We decided that...
Thank God you have bacon.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. Bacon is like the vehicle for all things that we try and do, for sure, right? But we wanted to say it wasn't good enough to wait until beer was done for us as chefs to start to engage and interact with them. From a culinary perspective, we had to start with the cooks in the kitchen, which are the brewers in the brew house. And so looking at them as chefs, their equipment as culinary equipment and their ingredients as food... Right, and culinary inspiration from them completely changed our approach. And now we take that as the core of how we cook.
Andrew, when you guys met, what was the first thing you asked Johnson?
Oh, God, I my memory. I don't remember anything. But I would
question.
Say that I was really skeptical. I've always shied away from cooking with beer. People always ask, oh, well, you cook with beer all the time. And I'm like, no, because I think it's too easy for a guest, for the consumer to say, well, this pairing worked, or this makes sense because you utilized beer in the recipe. And at first, when Jensen was talking about all these things, I was kind of like, yeah, I don't know how much I want to use hop powder and I want to use these things. But I will say that I think the beer yeast ferments. I mean, fermentation is something that obviously in the beer world is huge. It's important in the glass. But I think more and more, not just myself, but many chefs are looking at fermentation to create that depth of flavor. And I'm intrigued. I mean, I tasted amazing shit today that I'm really looking forward to starting to work with. So Jensen's going to leave me with some cool starters and some fun stuff. And hopefully we'll be sharing a lot more of that with you guys here in New York soon.
I'll give you guys an example. So we take things that people might already understand two of the big products that are big movers for us that kind of create a platform of understanding and then allow people to say, oh, these guys are doing some next level shit, is we do a kimchi. And so a natural kimchi that you see, it's everywhere now, right? It's so like ubiquitous. It's in every like Euro bistro. They have a kimchi, right? So they do a natural lactic fermentation. There's lacto naturally occurring on every single vegetable. It's in the air, right? As soon as a vegetable is harvested, they suck onto that and they create a natural fermentation. Well, we take that process and manipulate threefold. And so they had a 4-stage fermented kimchi today that was alive, right? It's just like popping in ways that people haven't tasted before. And we do a fermentation with the lacto. Then we also ferment out a sweet liquid to create what we call our yeast MSG, which for the non-Asians in the room, that means make so good. I don't know if you guys knew that. And basically it's pure yeast flavor. Then we pitch that.
So we shouldn't go to the we do not use MSG restaurants anymore.
Yeah. They're ruining your lives using MSG. Maybe saving your life, but ruining your life at the same time. So we then pitch that into our fermenting kimchi base, which then changes the pH and the Brix of it, which then allow us to pitch more yeast on top of that in a friendlier environment. On top of the now third fermentation we've done, then we finish this kimchi with some bugs, which basically came from wood inoculate from the fooders at New Belgium out of one of the barrels that was Felix, which is their light beer that ends up being Le Terroir. So that's some shit. That is like kimchi to the nth degree, and that's what these guys got to taste today. And we tasted against a really good kimchi from Brooklyn, Mama O's.
Oh, yeah.
We always taste them against like commercial examples.
Mama O's.
Exactly. It was really, really good, but it was great also for people to see how different like what's coming out of that. And Andrew can talk to what he was
tasting.
Kadeem
makes an incredible product, and he's been doing it for 8 years, and I was sitting with him yesterday, and he knew we were doing this event and donated some kimchi. And that's a really complex, beautiful kimchi.
So
with
good.
A one day, you know, room temp ferment, a little bit of lime juice to kick up some of that acidity. And it's a great kimchi. But you taste what Jensen is doing. And with this third, fourth level of fermentation, there's a depth and a nuance, but also a freshness to it that I thought was pretty incredible. It was a really amazing product.
Jensen, so Colorado, how has that influenced you? What's the scene like?
Colorado's great. I've been there for 8 years now, coming from California, and it's blowing up. It was known for craft beer, but the food scene was in its infancy. And, you know, if Brooklyn is a 100 on the scale of food, Denver 8 years ago was a 12, but now we're like a 72, right? And so it's been rapid, rapid growth because we had a long way to go. And now what's great is that we've been able to explore what beer and food means to us because it's so ever-present and there was no rules for us. That now, for Colorado, it's important because now we don't necessarily have to always look to New York or San Francisco or Chicago for culinary inspiration. We're looking to brewers right in our backyards, and there's 400 breweries in Colorado, and saying, what inspires you? Why do you do what you do? What makes you tick? Why do you cook the things that you cook? And how can I start to impart that and create a community around brewing beer and food together?
And this is your whole thing now? You said you have a kitchen.
We have a test lab
there. You're only doing brewed food. That's your thing.
Yeah, we do brewed food. We're working on the handbook for it, basically, because there was no resource for chefs. So I just had to blow up a lot of stuff to figure this out. We had like CSI scenes where there was like brain matter, shrapnel, and red kimchi juice on the ceilings. We're like, that was a mistake. We will not do that again. But we had to. We had to.
You guys
got to
get your. Where's your camera, man? You're doing a documentary. You're supposed to be bringing it everywhere you go.
I can recreate the brain matter explosion if we need to, you know, for posterity. I can.
Well, you miss
that.
Eric and Andrew that, you know, they've been shooting a beer documentary and they went over to talk to Steve Hindy. But what would you guys want to shoot? Would you want to grab him in his kitchen and just follow him around?
We would try to get really, really close ups of that brain matter squirting on the on the wall.
And it pairs in with the name Beer Boom, so it's perfect.
The cinematography, the value there is high for you guys.
Perfect. It's got to be nice, too, to be in Brooklyn. You know, we have such tiny kitchens and such little space that, you know, even at like the Blind Tiger, it's really small. And so the idea of having fermented foods and kimchi is always a plus for someone working with space and refrigeration issues and things like that. So
I was walking around Brooklyn today, and I was even down in the city, and I forgot how many places the deliveries go through down into the dungeon, right? They don't even walk through the front or back door because there is no back door. And they're going down there. It's like, what are those guys doing? It's like, oh, yeah, they're delivering food downstairs.
Totally, you know, by any chance, did you guys bring any beer?
We did not. We ran out.
No beer. All right. Well, I've been drinking the Hill Farmstead Pale Ale.
We drank all of it.
Been on tap here a lot at Roberta's. And what beer did you drink, Ann? You don't have any
Never
beer.
Yeah, we're all running here late. We want to make sure we could hear about all this wonderful food we missed at Brooklyn Brewery.
Some beautiful beers today.
We'll grab some outside.
We got the pleasure of drinking some La Folie 2016 at Nut Brown, which is just unbelievable. And got to finish off the day with our new Framboisie, which is the new Brooklyn Quarterly Experiment, which was really fun. And we actually got to taste the ghost bottle version that was the impetus, the story behind this beer. And you know a lot about our Ghost Bottle series, but these are experimental beers. They allow us to play, to discover, to experiment. And sometimes they work out and come out great. And those are our BQEs that we actually release. So to be able to taste with these kimchis and taste the Ghost Bottle with Mama O's kimchi, and then taste the Framboisie, which is sort of the realization of that project, alongside Jensen's kimchi, was pretty wonderful.
Jensen, in the other cities that you've been in, what other breweries have you paired up with?
We've gotten lucky with our whole national tour that we're on right now to work with, obviously here, Brooklyn Brewery, Jimmy's Number 43 in Austin, where we kicked off in April. We work with Jester King, Jeffrey and those guys, which anybody who's into beer has to go there. It is a completely different experience. They're out on a ranch, 50 acres of protected land, right? They got the cool ship with like the, you know, just natural microflora and microbes from the air just cooling down their beer. Like, they're doing farmhouse to another level. And some great chefs. We work with Bryce Gilmore's team. You know, he's doing some badass stuff between Barley Swine and Odd Duck down there. We work with Biwa and Base Camp up in Portland. We got San Diego on the brewery side, Green Flash. We work with a brewery in L.A. So we've gotten lucky. People are,
it's a pretty good roster, right? Not bad.
This is digging this idea.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we're going to have to take a short break. But in a few minutes, we'll talk more about brewed food on Beer Sessions Radio. All right, yeah.
This one's called Greenwood Cemetery. It's by a band called Teeth People. We'll be right back. In 1996, L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio. Hey, it's Jack Inslee's last night, buddy.
Oh.
You know, when we first started Beer Sessions Radio in 2010, Jack was in the studio, and he recorded great guys like Ray Dieter, some great recordings with Steve Hindy and Garrett Oliver, and you've probably been there with all of us. Jack, we'll miss you, dude.
Miss you too, man.
We're going to have a party after this. You don't even know. It's a surprise party. Everybody's coming to the studio. If you're in Bushwick right now,
everyone
come
that's
to
ever
Roberta's.
Been on Beer Sessions will be here in 10 minutes.
And bring us beer. But so we got Jensen and Andrew talking about this brewed food thing. Jensen, tell us about the menu that's tomorrow at Jimmy's Number 43.
Yeah, so the way that we collaborate with chefs is, you know, reaching out to amazing talent like Andrew in each city, getting a sense of what's happening here, what they're excited about, and then we really collaborate and talk about the opportunities with what Andrew's working on and how we can continue to evolve this idea of brewed food and get his approach to it. And so the dishes that we're doing, we do three dishes. Andrew's doing three dishes. We're bringing New Belgian to play, who just launched in New York, and it's right in our backyard, so we're bringing some La Folie and things like that out here, which is really exciting. I could just tell how much Andrew was geeking out about that today, tasting them at our tasting panel. So we're doing a pig heart yakitori with our malted barley miso, and then we do a nukazuke daikon, and that is a Japanese, right? Everyone's head just spun off. It's a Japanese-style fermentation where they would take rice bran and use that to create this fermentation bed. So we took that idea and started using different spent grains in place to create in a closed loop, and be able to have a fermentation vessel that utilizes brewing ingredients. And so we have this funky, lightly sour daikon that's been fermented on spent grain. Right, people's heads will explode. And then that we're pairing with the La Folie. So tons of funk, the pig heart, minerality, tons of acidity and tartness from that La Folie. Then we're also doing a new style sashimi. So we just like flashed here. We got some Montauk black bass coming from sea to table, which is beautiful.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Jimmy's number 43 has just been inundated with all kinds
last
of awesome ingredients
bacon.
And stuff.
Deliveries keep coming. I love it.
And so we're doing a new style sashimi, and then we have our yuzu kosho, which Andrew and most people today were just loving on. We ferment Japanese citrus fruit yuzu with green chili, super vibrant, spicy, acidic, just all kinds of levels of fun. And then our last dish is kind of our signature dish, which has the kimchi we've been talking about a little bit. This it's so alive and vibrant and funky, and we make a pork belly bulgogi, really pulling from like a Korean influence, and we ferment our own gochujang, which is a Korean chili paste, and we use some barley powder in there as well as some malt extracts, which again is bringing that
so
brewing
are you
influence.
Traveling with the pantry? This is stuff that you guys make back in your brewed kitchen?
Yep, I literally travel with it on the plane because I won't let it ship it.
They let you bring that on?
Yeah, it gets TSA freaks out every time. They're like, what is in this bag? What is that smell
that
coming out
like
of there?
That looks like a brain exploding.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. They're like, are they transporting body parts? What's going on in here? But yeah, they all the food travels with us because we want to keep it close to us. So I know it's right there below me and I can smell it on the plane.
I'm sure everyone else there. Can.
Yeah,
too.
For sure.
And then for you, Andrew, I mean, are you already prepping things back in your kitchen, or are you going to just come
in
tomorrow
and cook? Excuse me, prepped and ready. Going with our Sriracha Ace farmhouse saison, nice, bright, citrus character, sort of lemon verbena, playing off of the characteristics of that Sriracha Ace hop, almost a little bit of dill in the finish. We're doing just a really light uni dish, so very vibrant, luscious sea urchin, a slight hop-infused yogurt, and then some other citrus elements to play off that citrus a little bit. Then we're doing a dry-aged beef tartare, a little Jerusalem artichoke emulsion, kind of bring out those sort of forest floor funk flavors. This is a dish I made originally to go with our creek, or K is for creek, our last BQE. But I really want to showcase framboisie. I think it'll be really interesting. It's a little bit lighter, a little bit more fruit-forward, fresh fruit flavors that I think are going to pair really nicely with that beer. And then to round it out for dessert, our improved old-fashioned. It's a beer kind of inspired by Garrett's love for cocktails. Three different styles of rye as that base malt. So just a nice rye ale base aged in rye barrels. And then infused with a really beautiful array of botanicals. So we're going to do, I think with a beer that intense, it's 14%. It basically is a dessert in itself with so much nuance that I want a kind of simple dessert to go with that. So we're doing a spiced shortbread cookie, just playing off of that cardamom, the mace, a little bit of nutmeg. So very light flavors in that shortbread cookie. Just a really simple vanilla ice cream
I'm so hungry right now.
I'm there tomorrow. Annie, are you going to the dinner tomorrow night?
I'm going to have to now. I'll cancel everything I have.
7 p.m. tomorrow night at Jimmy's number 43.
I think Mr. Jack Inslee's invited to dinner tomorrow night. So,
if someone's not able to make it to that dinner, how can they follow you guys? Is there a mailing list, a website? Like, how can someone know what's going on and when you're coming to their city?
Yeah, in preparation of being in New York, we just launched a brand new website yesterday, brew-food.com, and it's going to become like the hub resource for all things brewed food. So you can find us at different events. You can also find recipes on there. We're kind of taking some of the recipes we've been working on a high level, way more math than I can do. That's why I have science background guys on the team that work there that are way smarter than me. Thank God for that. But a way for recipes to start to find their way into chefs' hands, into the avid home cook's hands, as well as the home brewer that has direct access to a lot of that stuff. So that's the best way, is get on there. And then we're super active on social media. And our food is sexy, mostly because we work with great photographers. It can't have anything to do with my plating ability, but we have great pictures and stuff. So Instagram has been a great place where people can just see what's next and what's happening.
We'll talk about photographers. So you guys, as documentary filmmakers, this is Eric and Andrew. What would you guys be asking Andrew and Jensen right now if you had a camera on them? Or would you not be asking? You just have the camera on them.
Yeah, if anything, I think we need to add a full chapter to the movie about food pairings with beer. I'd probably start with kind of just chatting about the growth and the people's interest in food and beer together, you know, with specifically in regards to craft beer.
Yeah, I think the beauty is we can take a lot of risks and we can do more involved dishes and more intricate, nuanced pairings because the palate has changed. We do a dinner party series in New York called Dinner Party. The next one's at the Pfizer building on June 30th. It's about celebrating the dynamic spaces and people that inspire us in Brooklyn. Pfizer is an amazing space with about 50 food producers. It's where Mama O's kimchi came from today. It's been producing there for a long time. But turning pairing on its head a little bit. I think there's a lot of traditional pairings, but palates have changed, palates have evolved, and people are much more willing to take risks and experience. And
so you're traveling food event, The Mash. And how long have you been doing that now?
So The Mash is now in its fourth year. We just finished our first two cities of the year, London and Stockholm.
So how has that changed for you? Have you seen the crowd evolve, the food that you're doing?
We've seen people, really latch on. I think people are willing to take a lot more risks when it comes to beer. It's become, as Adam Dulé says, the fourth pillar of the table. Food is one, liquor is one, wine is one, and beer is that strong fourth pillar. And I think from that, you know, and it's also in beer dinners, it's not just one beer and one course and that natural progression and this idea of palate fatigue and all these things. We like to do these big feasts where we put down multiple beers and multiple courses and let you guide yourself. The Mash is about adventure, about experience. And I think an educated guest, an educated consumer can guide themselves through a tasting, can sort of make their own discoveries. And it's not just, I'm the chef and I'm here to tell you what's good and what makes sense in a pairing. Like, I can trust my guests to experience that for themselves in a way that I might have not had that same faith 3 or 4 years ago.
What are the differences between
talking to the mic.
Between the cities, what would you say are the differences that you've noticed going from city to city? Like, is New York more of a blank kind of city? Is London more of like a...
You know what? I think what we've noticed that each city has its individuality, but there are these amazing spaces where... How do I want to say this? There's this sense of amazing culture and depth and nuance and these artists and artisans and chefs and brewers and people that there's these really amazing communities. And I think everyone is excited for great beer, good food, this sense of community, breaking bread together. And that seems to transcend any city.
What's a great pairing that you figured out from doing that series?
We do a scallop crudo. And it kind of morphs, but the original one that I did was, again, designed with sriracha, and it was an apple cider dashi, a basil oil, a brown butter gel, kind of playing off of those cooked elements, but with a nice, cold, bright scallop, either with pickled cherries or with pickled grapes, and that's something that just wows me every time. That's a fun one.
That one sounds good.
That's a good one.
Now, Jensen,
for you, Jimmy.
How did you start doing brewed food, man? I mean, and maybe tell us before that, How'd you start cooking?
Yeah, it's just I've always been fascinated by beer and food. And when I was studying, I got my psalm during culinary school, so like 12 years ago. And I realized in doing that there's so much culture around food and wine that I was excited about. I just like drinking beer and eating food better. Like, it just seems so much less pretentious to me, so much more evolutionary versus traditional. And that was a big catalyst for me to start to go after my Cicerone when that really came about. So I was going after Cicerone, and I started looking at brewing in a different way because I was going to take a test that I was paying a lot of money for. So it wasn't like, I homebrew. I've read Michael Jackson stuff. I've read Garrett's book. So I think I know about beer. I was like, I'm about to pay $400, so I better know my shit. And that changed the way that I approached it. And all of a sudden, I realized that I needed to start back again at the beginning, and the beginning starts with the raw ingredients and the inspiration, the techniques that the brewers are using, and that's really where it started and evolved from there.
So Andrew told us a great pairing, the scallop and all that. Pick from your early days before you started doing the brewed food, what was a beer and food pairing that kind of got you thinking in that direction?
The first pairing that I really remember like resonating with me was actually oysters and Duvel. And now Duvel is truly the champagne of beers. Like, High Life has got nothing on it. And we'll drink magnums of Duvel for New Year's Eve. Like, that has become a tradition. And the reason that it's so good is because those really sharp, tight bubbles of Méthode Champenoise champagne were so good at cleansing the palate for something rich and salty and briny like oysters. That's why those two are just a perfect pairing. That beer had that. And all of a sudden, that was like, wait, beer can pair better. There's an opportunity to surpass food and wine. And that started a trend that has led
to all
of this. For a
quarter of the price, which is also a good factor for a lot of people starting
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Let's give a quick intro here. We have a regular listener from England, down in Devon.
Hey, Jimmy.
How are you, man? Garen Becker. He comes on the show every year. What's new about New York for you?
What's new about New York? Well... I've been to some like new bars. I spent like a lot of time in Brooklyn this time. I'm lucky enough to have a very understanding wife who's let me come on vacation for a couple of weeks, just walking around the camera and drinking beer. So, yeah.
One place you went to that you liked in Brooklyn?
Toast.
Yeah, like Toast.
Yeah, loved it. Yeah, absolutely loved it. Yeah, all fantastic right. place.
Welcome
yeah.
back. So every year he comes to New York and comes on the show as a regular listener. And his first show, what was the first show that really turned you on? It was something about Cascale with Ray
D. I remember Ray D was talking about his favorite beer he'd ever had, and it was the fact he biked up to Central Park, I think, on like a real sunny afternoon. He said he just drank a Budweiser in the middle of Central Park, and he said that was like the nicest tasting beer because he just, you know, so he wasn't all about, you know, the craft beers, was he? Yeah, it was just the conversations you guys had, I think. And
that's all right, man. Thanks for having me back on the show. And
thanks.
And, what's coming up June 20th?
June 20th. So follow us on Twitter, Beer Sessions or Beer_Sessions, because we're going to have about 15 tickets left or 15 tickets total to come in and basically
do a live
show with us. Yeah, with Olivier, the fourth generation brewmaster of DuPont, Saison DuPont, Tommy Arthur from The Lost Abbey, and then you'll be drinking and tasting the beers along with us.
Where is it going to be?
It's going to be at Treadwell Park on 62nd and 1st.
I haven't been there yet, and I'm looking forward to trying it
out. Yeah, so really intimate tasting. Then we have a Q&A after. We'll taste some special beers that are not available in our New York City market, and it's going to be a really nice, intimate
This is a great session. Show. You met a lot of people. You guys, one more shout-out for your film.
It's a Beer Boom Movie at Twitter, Beer Boom Movie on Instagram, and beerboommovie.com.
And how do the beer vendors talk at the old Shea Stadium?
Hey, cold beer.
Cold beer here.
We got an original beer vendor from Shea Stadium. And you guys, quick wrap up. What's going on with you, Andrew?
So BrooklynBreweryMash.com, at Brooklyn House Chef. Really exciting events coming up. Follow us. Check out BrooklynBrewery.com.
More beer here. More beer.
Come hang out. Get Jensen. You more beer here.
Yeah, thanks for having us in New York, man. You guys have showed us quite hospitality.
Root food. All right, Ann.
Root food is here.
Everybody, thanks. More beer here? How do you say that, Ann?
I'm not thinking about beer. I'm thinking about brewed food right
now.
Yeah,
man.
Like starving.
Hey, food. We got food here.
Yeah. Well, this is the last. Our good buddy, engineer, executive, everything, Jack Inslee, since day one. He's been with us, and this is his last night. He picked Beer Sessions Radio for his last show before he goes on tour and doing some crazy things. And thanks to everybody, Jensen, Andrew, Eric, Andrew, Ann, and our good buddy Garen Becker from England for joining us here. I'd like to thank our sponsors at Union Beer Distributors who've helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Thanks to our producers, Justin Kennedy and Maggie Seiden, and a bittersweet and final goodbye to our friend and founding engineer, Jack Inslee. See you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right, yeah, woo!
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.